Sahanabhavatu, Sahanabhunaktu, Sahavivyankaravavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastu mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Okay, let's chant the first three verses. I mean, we might do more. Okay, so starting from 44, 45, 46. Okay.
Jagato yat upadanam.
Jagato yat upadanam.
Maya madayatamasi.
Maya madaya tamasim.
Nimittam shuddha sattvantam.
Nimittam shuddha sattvantam.
Uchyate brahma tat gira.
Uchyate brahma tat gira.
Yada malina sattvantam.
Yada malina sattvantam. Kama karma vidushitam.
Adatte tat param brahma.
Adatte tat param brahma.
Tvam padena tadochyate.
Tvam padena tadochyate.
Trikai marmitam muktva.
Tritaina pitana muktva.
Paraspara virodhini.
Paraspara virodhini.
Akhandam satchidanandam.
Akhandam satchidanandam.
Mahavakyena lakshyate.
Mahavakyena lakshyate.
So in the verse 43 with the Bhagatyaga Lakshana means that it's a when a sentence doesn't work at all, but the sentence is supposed to be meaningful, then there's different types of lakshanas we can use. And this particular lakshana called Bhagatyaga Lakshana takes place when two things, like in the Shastra, tat tvamasi, you jiva, you are Ishwara. If you have Shraddha in the Shastra, you just don't dismiss that, because how could that possibly be true? And then we have to look at Lakshana. And this Lakshana, Bhagatyaga, means renouncing part, renouncing a part. And so here, in the tat tvamasi, you are, if I put it in our tat tvamasi, that you are. There is part of Ishwara, when we think of Ishwara, and there is part of the jiva that has to be dropped off. It's basically the maya. That which is mitya has to be dropped off. The mitya that is in the form of the whole maya upadi for Ishwara has to be dropped off, and the jiva upadi, you know, for the pratyagatma, for this innermost self, has to be dropped off. When these upadis, external upadis, which are really not true to my nature, are renounced, are gotten rid of, then the identity between the jiva and Ishwara is there. Right? Because the self is Atma, is Brahman. The self of the Jiva is Brahman. The self of Ishwar is Brahman. So there's an identity, but that identity can only be realized if you get rid of the conditioning adjuncts or remove the upadis from each. From the upadi for the jiva is this body mind sense organs. The upadi for Ishwara is the whole creation. So what is that going to be in Sanskrit? It's going to be for the jiva, the prajna, the Hiranyagarbha, and the Vishwa. And for Ishwara, it's going to be Ishwara, Hiranyagarbha, and Virat. These are all the names for the Maya upadis that we've gone through. That all of those have to be recognized as mithya, which means that really they are there, but they're not the truth of my being. And when I get to that, the truth of my being and the truth of the being of Ishwara, there is an identity. Okay, so that's what we're working on, this Bhagatyaga Lakshana. So he's giving some verses now, expanding a little bit on that, these next three verses. And so in the introduction to this verse 44, the commentator says, you know, we're going to analyze a little bit more deeply the tattvamasi, that thou art Mahavakya. Okay? But to analyze that Mahavakya, the tattvamasi, we have to first analyze what do we mean by tat and what do we mean by tvam. And then for each one of those, that Bhagatyaga Lakshana, we have to give up the part of it that is what we call virudha, or in opposition to the part of the other. So the part of the tat, that is in opposition to the part of the tvam, those two things have to be given up, okay, in order to recognize an identity. The whole Advaita Vedanta is Advaita. Advaita means the nature of reality is non-dual, one without a second. If there's going to be one without a second, we have to discover what that one is, and everything else has to become mithya. Because if myself is one non-dual Atma, but then we have all of these other things too, that's not non-dual, right? Non-dual means there's one without a second, and that means this whole panorama, the whole Ishwara Upadi, has to be recognized as mithya, which means it has no separate, independent being apart from myself. And if I recognize the whole creation as mithya, then I'm the only one here, right? Because the mithya, what is maya, has no independent existence at all. It's like, it's the clay pot, just the clay pot. There is no pot, really. We experience it. That's why we can call it maya or mithya instead of saying it's not existent. Something that's non-existent, you don't experience. That's really the difference. Because there is no separate, independent being for something that is mithya, but you experience it. But if it's the horn of a rabbit, you know, if we believe that there is no such thing as a horn of a rabbit, okay. I can never forget the postcard my one student told me. So we have this rabbit with a horn. But it just wrecked everything. But when we say horn of the rabbit, you know, you have to think, okay, there's no such thing as a horn of a rabbit, so you can't experience a rabbit's horn because there's no such thing. Right? No experience. That's the difference between non-existence and mithya. Because if we analyze mithya, it's also not there either in terms of having any independent being. If I, like for the rope snake, if I were to pull the rope out, where's the snake? There is no snake. But we experience it. It's mithya. So it has a being. It is something that we experience, but in terms of what it actually is, in terms of its being, it's only the Satchitatma. And that's the whole inquiry is this. Really, the only thing that is here is me, is conscious being. Not me, the body, mind, sense organs, not the me of the jiva. So the me of the jiva, we're talking about conscious being with ajnanam. That's what makes the jiva jiva, is ajnanam, is ignorance. So if we're talking about this from the standpoint of ignorance, then there's, you know, an infinite number of things here. Beyond, you can't go beyond infinite, but if you could go beyond infinite, we're beyond, even beyond infinite. That's how many things there are here. We talk about dvaita, there's an infinite dvaita. But if that infinite dvaita is mithya, means it has no independent being of its own, then it basically doesn't count. Because it's not two, it's like me walking along with my shadow. The shadow has no being. I am its being, right? It has no independent existence at all, you know? And this creation has no independent existence at all, but I have to see that. I have to recognize that. And once I recognize that, it has no independent existence, but it does have existence. And what is that existence? It's me, the Satchitatma. Not the mitya body or the mitya mind or the mitya thoughts or the mitya emotions or the mitya creation or the mitya relationships or the mitya world that I experience. You know, that's duality, but that duality depends totally upon me or for its being. And so therefore there's only, as we did this nicely yesterday, I think, there's only one me, there's only one self, and this whole creation is a projection of myself. Yeah. And within this projection, you can say it is a manifestation of myself, the Paramatma, which is one. And so this whole creation is just my being. It's not apart from me. It's not somebody else's. It's not some other, some God somewhere. There's me, this little jiva, and then there's this God, somebody else that projected this world, and I'm stuck in it. But it came from this jerk, this awful person over here who imagined this whole universe that's full of, you know, tapas and full of agony and pain and the birth and death and all of these things. What the heck were they thinking? But when we really understand what's going on, this is an infinite display, you know, of Ishwara. If you look at it as an infinite mandala, with everything coming into being and going out of being, from that standpoint it's so beautiful. But from the standpoint of those who are coming into being and going out of being, as though so they think. You think that, that's really not true, and you never will experience that, but that's the fear. That experience actually doesn't exist, because yourself, what is actually here, doesn't come into being and go out of being. So it's every major change that you go through, like a births and death experiences, is more like waking up from the dream. You had such an identity there, but when you wake up from the dream, nothing has happened. So that's what, you just remember I said that when you're dying, okay? when this body's going, you know, just say, okay, Raj, I said there was nothing. He doesn't. Let me say. I still love Steve Jobs' experience, you know, when he was on his deathbed, and he was surrounded by his family and everything, and he was also a spiritual person. And anyway, so he was slipping away, and then in that, like the instant before he died, he goes, wow. That's such an appropriate response. You know? There is no death experience. It's not any more death experience than you have when you wake up from a dream. It doesn't exist, because the self, yourself, this me, is free of time. It's not an object in the creation. So it's impossible to experience even the slightest iota. You know what that means? Just the slightest scent of any type of death experience. It just simply does not exist. But of course, with Ajnanam, and this body dies for sure, the Sukshma Sharira goes on traveling about, so it doesn't experience any death either. It just experiences a change of scenery, which for you is not a change of, for you, Sukshma Sharira is not a change of scenery, because you've done it, you know, infinite number of times. You know when they have this example of, say you take the sutra, the string, you take a string and then you bead it. So this string has, maybe say it has 100 beads on it. So the string, take each bead as one of your lives, you know. And so this life is gone, this life is gone, this life is gone, this life is gone, this life. Now have an infinite string there. And so an infinite number of beads. This life is gone, this life is gone, this life is gone, this life is gone, this life is gone. But you haven't gone. And the subtle body has not gone. Right? And so the subtle body, as long as you don't have self-knowledge, the subtle body just takes birth after birth after birth after birth. It goes to different lokas in order to exhaust experience. Kind of like when you dream, you go to as though a different loka to exhaust some experiences that are there being held in your psyche. So the dream expresses it. And the different lokas that you go to have a more objective reality, but a lot of them in the upper lokas are viewed kind of like a dream. Dream experience where there's no real kartritvam, no real doership. Like in the dream, there's no real doership. But there's a whole story, there's a whole experience that you undergo in those lokas, except for the highest loka, I think. Anyway, the point is that as many times as you have died, that many times you have been born. It's countless. And so all of the different lokas, all of the different fields of experience that are available in this creation, you have experienced an infinite number of times. But when you come to this, take the physical body, you're coming into a fresh body that usually doesn't bring along with it past experiences. Sometimes it does. There's many books which have all this anecdotal evidence. You mean, singular, this happened to this person, and this person has their story, this person has their story, this happened to this person. That's what we mean by anecdotal. There's many personal instances where a person takes a body, but they have intense memories of the past, which they want to connect up with, like if they remember where they were born before, and all kinds of things. And then their parents go along with it, and they'll go back and search for that place. And there's many times when these places have been found. I've talked about this, but now we're talking about in the sense of the non-death experience of the self and the non-death experience of the traveling subtle body. You know, the traveling subtle body is, again, within duality because it's traveling. You know, and taking on many, many different experiences. The self is not traveling, right? The self is the adhishtana of this whole creation. So on two levels, there's no death experience. On the level of your being, which is free from time, and on the level of the traveling subtle body, which travels according to the karmas and then takes on another body eventually in one of the lokas, and then takes on a body here, where the whole kartritvam, the doership and the enjoyership, all of these things are present for you. You're kind of in full form in this loka and also in the satya loka, the highest loka. So, anyway, what is being said here as we go into this verse 44, in this Mahavakya, tat tvamasi, to really understand it, you have to understand what we mean by tat, that, and what we mean by tvam. So he says, in commentary, it says, well, since the Mahavakya starts with tat, tvam, see, we will look at tat first. Jesus. One verse on it, okay. So repeat after me. We didn't do that yet, did we? No. Jagataha.
Jagataha.
Yad.
Yad.
Upadanam.
Upadanam.
Mayam.
Mayam.
Adaya.
Adaya.
Tamasim.
Tamasim.
Nimittam.
Nimittam.
Shiddhasattvam.
Shiddhasattvam.
Tam.
Tam.
Uchate.
Uchate.
Brahma.
Brahma.
Tadgira.
Tadgira.
Okay. So, one term we haven't I've kind of been waiting for it to come, and now here it's come. When we talk about Ishvara, we've talked about Ishvara, of Brahman for Ishvara, Brahman being the Vivarta Upadana Karanam. Vivarta means the Upadana Karanam. Karanam means the cause. Upadana means the material cause. So the clay is the material cause of the pot. Right, so the pot maker, but the pot maker, if the pot maker is making the pot from clay, the pot maker becomes what we call the nimitta karanam, the efficient cause, because he's the one that actually makes the clay, the material cause, into the pot. So you have the material cause, and then you have the what we call the efficient cause. The efficient cause is the doer, the creator. You see what I mean? So in the world, we usually have the upadana karan, the material cause, be one thing, the nimitta karanam is another. So the pot maker is a the pot and the pot maker is a good drishtanta for that. But I brought in another, a week ago or so, I brought in another drishtanta, the dancer, where the dancer, who is the creator of the dance and the one who is the director of the dance, but is not outside the body that is dancing. So the dancer uses the upadana karanam, which is the body, which is basically the tamas, and is directed by the nimitta karanam, which is sattva predominant. So the mind becomes the director, right? The mind becomes the director of the body. So the upadana karanam is the body, the nimitta karanam is the buddhi, we can say. And so the two are using this one field in order to express the dance. And so then we would say in that case, using it as a drishtanta, as an example, we would say the dancer is both the nimitta karanam, the efficient cause, and the upadana karanam, the material cause. So it's kind of a nice example to show how both the creator and the material of the creation can exist in one being. So dancer is often used for that. So here in this, if you see, in the first line, we have upadana. So jagataha yet upadanam, it says, the one who is the, yet means the one who, is the upadanam of the jagat, of the creation. So Brahman, really, the self, is the material cause of the creation. Jagataha yet upadanam. And then he explains a little bit. Mayam, mayam, 2-1. Mayam, feminine. Mayam, adaya, tamasim. Okay? We would say like this. Brahman is the upadana karanam, is the upadana karanam of this physical world, yes, along with the tamas aspect of maya. Mayam adaya means with, together with, adaya. So mayam adaya tamasin, together with the tamas aspect of maya. Because maya goes through the panchikarana and becomes this physical body. So here, I have to say one thing about this. So we can say Brahman is the vivarta upadana karanam, is the material cause of this creation, itself undergoing no change. That's the vivarta. So then in this creation that we experience here, what part is Brahman? It's sat-chit. The sat-chit, which is the consciousness, being. Sat is being, chit is consciousness, which is absolutely pervasive to absolutely everything in the creation, both subtle and physical. There is nothing that is away from existence and knownness. So we've talked about that. Like I can say this is. Any experience I have, any emotion I have, any imagination I have, any meditative state I have, it is and it is known. You know? Vritti ananda. It is known. There is no exception. The is and is knownness is the same in every single experience that we have. It is vivarta. That's what we mean. The vivarta upadana karanam means the sat-chit, even my amness, I am, I exist. The body is, I am known, I am self-evident. The body is, it is known. The sense organs are, they are known. The world is, it is known. So the isness and knownness, the sat and chit, is invariable. It is the invariable. Nothing is away from it on any level whatsoever. My ajnanam is, it is known. Because I can say, I can ask you, you know, do you know Swahili? Okay, somebody must know Swahili. Mm-hmm. Now that's why I use it, because I know you don't know. So, do you know Swahili? And you'd say, no, I don't. I think you do. Okay. No, I don't. I don't, I'm positive. How do you know you don't? Because I'm aware of what I don't know. I'm aware of what I don't know. I'm aware of what I know. Mm-hmm. That means that your ignorance is illumined as well as your knowledge. There is nothing that is away from sat-chit. Sat-chit is the knownness, you know. Isness is the isness, being. It is. So satchit, even in terms of your ajnanam, the sukshma, everything in the sukshma sharira, everything in the panchakoshas, everything in the whole infinite creation is known. It is the same. And you can just replace the objects and isness is known remains actually the same. And that is what we call the vivarta upadana karanam, the material cause, because when we mean material cause that doesn't go through any change, what that really means is when you start to analyze maya and you think that any object in this creation, you can analyze it and find out really what it's made of. But actually you cannot do that because it goes into an infinite rigorous, you know. All you're left with, no matter how much you dissect any given object, the one thing you can say about it as you're going through this process of dissection, whether just a huge pile of namarupas down to this little tiny, tiny ones, so all the way through that process of trying to find what is there, each part of the way, it is and it is known. It is and it is known. You get rid of the namarupa completely, it is and it is known. That is the adhishtana. That is the upadana karana, the actual material cause of, don't worry about the word material, right? Means what is the substance? Don't worry about the word substance. None of these words work because a consciousness is non-dual. You know, these words, substance, material cause, we have to take off the limitations from them, but recognize that what is the common denominator to all experience? Where does it always end up if you analyze it? Is in satchit, conscious being. Okay, so that's the upadana karana for everything in the creation on every level. It's the vivarta, not going through any change itself, the vivarta upadana karana. It's a big word. But then it's that vivarta upadana karana with mayam adaya, together with maya. Right? What is maya in reference to this creation? It also is the upadana karana. But it's the parinama, upadana karana. So maya is what is responsible for the projection, manifestation of namarupa. All of this, you know, where does all this come from? Because Brahman is the upadana karana, but remains always the same, so it doesn't do anything for this. What is the upadana karana of the namarupa? We say maya. Ya ma iti maya, that which is not, that which has no being of its own, that is maya. Ya ma iti maya. Ya, that which is, ma not. So maya iti maya, that which is not, it has no independent being, that is maya. How is maya the material cause of this creation? It is the material cause, it itself being mitya, is the material cause of the manifestation of this infinite mandala of the creation in which all namarupas are included. And so we have then two. We have two material causes. One is the material cause of mitya, which is mitya, and then one is the vivarta upadana karanam, the material cause that undergoes no form, no change at all, which is what we call Brahman. Right? So the vivarta upadana karanam brahman, the parinama upadana karanam maya. Parinama means that which modifies, right? So the maya, as it comes into manifest, it goes through, you know, like an infinite display of modifications. So where does that display come from? Maya, as the parinama, the one that transforms, that modifies, parinama upadana karanam, the material cause that transforms itself. So here, what does the first line say? The one for whom, yet, the one who is the upadana karana of the jagat, of the world, together with maya, we're looking now here as the tamas aspect of maya, right? Because we're talking about the jagat, what is responsible for for this display, for this physical world? Right? That's the tamas aspect of maya that goes through this process of panchakarana. And then he says, and now he brings in, and what is the nimitta karanam? Right? So we've got the upadana karanam. And what is the nimitta karanam? It is the nimitta karanam is the shuddha sattvam tam. That tam, feminine, that maya, which aspect of maya? The shuddha sattva, which means the remember the sattva reflects, it just reflects consciousness. Shuddha sattva versus, as we'll see later, malina sattva, sattva that has some rajas tamas in it, you know, so that is affected by rajas tamas. Shuddha sattva is just pure reflection of consciousness. So the nimitta karanam of this parinama upadana karana, this maya that transforms, what is it made of? Sattva, rajas, and tamas. Tamas is responsible for the physical display of the creation, but the nimitta karanam is responsible for the intelligence that creation enjoys. Otherwise, it's just like what do you call, like Newton's clock. He viewed the creation as a ticking clock, you know. Just, it's inert, but it's ticking away. It ticks by itself. You know? It's not a conscious clock, or Newton, right? But in the Vedanta, we see the whole creation as Ishvara. Ishvara means a conscious being that this Maya Upadi enjoys because of the sattva, it enjoys consciousness. So it is a conscious entity, because an infinite conscious entity because of the sattva. So because the sattva is there with the maya, then sattva with maya is what we call the nimitta upadana karana, the parinama upadana karana. The parinama upadana karana has this both sattva aspect, nimitta karanam, and also in terms of the physical creation, it's twofold, you know. It has the Brahman as the Vivarta Upadana Karanam, and then, of course, Maya, the tamas aspect of Maya, which is responsible for this display. And then the Nimitta Karanam of Maya, because Brahman is going to become a creator of the creation, it's the sattva of the Maya that makes it Nimitta Karanam, an efficient cause, a conscious being. So now if you look at this, what it says is that both the upadana and the mitta karana, maya, together with maya, is called Brahman, uchite Brahma. Okay? That is called Brahman, or Brahman is called that. It doesn't make any difference. That is called Brahman, or Brahman is called that. So if we say Brahma Uchite, Brahma is called that Maya, that Brahman is the one who is the material cause of the creation together with the tamas aspect of Maya, and that Brahman is also called the Nimitta Karana, the efficient cause, together with the sattva aspect of Maya. Then it says Tadgira. That is what we mean by the word tat. Gira means, when we say tat, what do we mean? We mean Brahman. Brahman is the one who is called the nimitta and the upadana karana of this creation. It's the material cause of the creation in a twofold way. Vivarta upadana karana, the material cause that doesn't go through any change, and the nimitta karana, which reflects the sattva, the maya, which reflects the sattva. Parinama, anyway, blah, blah, blah. You get it? I'll say it all in English and all of that. Okay. Let's do the next one, because we have to do the Torm also. Okay. Yada. Malinasattvam.
Malinasattvam.
Tam.
Tam.
Kama karamadi.
Kama karamadi.
Dushitam.
Dushitam.
Adatte.
Adatte.
Tat param brahma.
Tat param brahma.
Tvampadena.
Tvampadena.
Tad uchyate.
Tad uchyate.
Ah, sorry. Tada uchyate.
Tada uchyate.
You see at the top we have yada, and at the bottom we have tada. Yada, tada. Yada means when, tada means then. When means in this circumstance, then, this is how it is. When this is happening, then this is the situation. So whenever this happens, then this, that kind of thing. Yada, when, then. So yada, Yada when, I'm just looking at a good word order in the English for this. When, yada, tat param brahma, second line. When that supreme Brahman, tat param brahman, means the supreme Brahman, means the one who is desha kala vastu aparichedaha, limitless non-dual Brahman. So when that Brahman, adatte, means together with, takes on, as though, takes on tam, that maya, tam maya. They have, that's coming over from the last verse. That maya, which is in this case, malinasattvam, malinasattvam tam, talking about the tvampada. I, as an individual, I have this sattva, right, that makes up my mind and sense organs of the five subtle elements, but it's also mixed with, in the commentary it says, ishat rajas tamo guna. Okay, there's a mishra, there's a mix of a little bit. Ishat means just a little bit of tamas and a little bit of rajas. And that little bit is because, it's because the sukshma sharira pervades the prana, right? The pranamaya kosha and the stulam and the anamaya kosha. It pervades the pranas and it pervades the physical body. So it's not like this body is not affected in any way by the rajas or by the sattva is affected in some ways because of the five sense organs and the mind pervading this stula sharira. It's going to be affected somewhat by the rajas and the tamas, affected by the pranas. You know, it's affected by how you feel. It's affected by the tamas, the condition of the body, these types of things. So it says that malina sattva means what? Well, the sattva itself is affected. This one that reflects consciousness because abiding in the body and the body is full of the prana also, it's going to be experiencing that thing. So it's not going to be completely free of the rajas and tamas because, just because of the sense of touch, it's being affected by it. So he says, when that param brahma identifies adatte, means takes on as an upadi. It takes on as an upadi. That which is malina sattva. And because of the malina sattva, because the sattva is affected by rajas and tamas and carries on the limitations of the body, mind, sense organs, because of that we're talking about really about the tvampada, the jiva, kama, karmadi, dushitam. It's also kind of stained and affected by kama, by desire, and also by karma, the karmendriyas, doing actions, the kama that is rising in the mind, you know, because of the ajnanam. So it becomes as though stained, limited in a way by kama and karma, etc. So it usually goes like this, ajnanam, kama, karma. Because of ajnanam, you have a desire. I want this. Because you want yourself. That's why you want it, and you don't know yourself, so yourself is perfect for projection. Projection requires ignorance. You can't have a projection without ignorance. And I have complete ignorance of myself, and the experience of myself is there both. This is what we need for projection, you know. And so, in fact, your whole being gets projected out onto the whole creation. The set, which is only you, is given to all of the objects. And so sat becomes something subject. Existence itself becomes something that is subject to birth and death. Right? And then the conscious being itself is projected out. It's like in this way. The self-evident knownness of you, this me that is self-evident, every single vritti that you have enjoys self-evident me. And so, every single object, it is known. It enjoys my sat, the sat of me, and it enjoys the knownness of me. And so, this is known, this is known, this is known, this is known, as though these things are actually carrying knownness. They're not at all. The knownness is never objectified. That is, the knownness is the self-evident me. These things have no knownness at all. That's why they come into being known and go out of being known. The knownness never changes. You know, get rid of all of the objects and the knownness remains because knownness is consciousness. Knownness is a language. That's how we talk about consciousness in reference to all of our experiences. This is known, this is known, this is known, this is known. I am known. I'm not known. There's nobody knowing me. I am the knownness itself. I am consciousness. So consciousness is knownness. It's just how we use the language. And there's nothing that's away from that. But in fact, consciousness doesn't spread out, you know, because your sense organs are spreading out. They're spreading out knownness to all of these objects. Knownness isn't spreading out. Consciousness is not spreading out. Everything exists in consciousness. There's nothing away from it, you know. And you have, Bhagavan has no limitation in that way because the sattva of the creation pervades the whole creation, so the whole creation has knownness. Whereas for me, the only things that have knownness are the things that come into my little vritti, right? My limited vritti. And they come in through the senses, and they come in through the faculties that the antakarana has on its own. Like memory and emotions and imagination, those don't require the sense organs. They're the things that the mind can do by itself. And so those things, as they arrive, they are and they are known. There's nothing that is not there, it is, and is known. But actually, the isness and is known is the adhishtana, you know, of the mithya. And it always is. It's not coming and going, and it doesn't belong to anything other than itself. This is known, this is known, this, no. No, no. It's not this is known, this is known, this is known. The knownness that I experience is my own being. Consciousness is the knownness. And whatever is here shines after that knownness. It has no independent knownness of itself. And so you can't objectify it. Try to objectify some knownness. You can't do it. But everything enjoys it because it's the adhishtana. So when Brahman takes on as an upadhi, a conditioning adjunct, the malina sattva, the maya with the malina sattva of the maya, then that maya, and then that malina sattva will cause this kama, karamadi, dushitam. Dushita is negative. It means this, like a flaw or a painful defect of sorts. Of kama and karma. And then krodha, kama, I have a desire, karma, I try to satisfy the desire, something happens, and I become angry. Mm-hmm. And all of the negative emotions come. Or I become happy, and then all the happy emotions come, and then the negative emotions come, when the happy emotions come to an end. Mm-hmm. So it goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. All of these things are brought about by the malina sattva. Because of the identification with something, a limited upadhi. So then it says, so that Brahman becomes this jiva actually, and that is what is meant, tada uchate. So when that happens then that Brahman who has become identified with this maya upadhi, with malina sattva, then that is what we mean by the word tvam. Right? The same Brahman becomes identified as the upadana and nimitta karana, the tamas is not going to cause any problems because it's inert. What's going to cause as though inert from its own standpoint? What causes problems really is my mind, which takes on the limitations of the upadis. Ishwara has no problem because he doesn't take on the limitations of any upadi. And the maya upadhi is limitless. So there's no ajnanamrita. Ishwar is fine. The problem is with all of the jivas, because it's the same Brahman, but the identification with the limited upadhi is there, which brings about all of these problems. So when we say tat tvamasi, the immediate vachyarta, the immediate meaning of the word tat, is Brahman with a whole maya upadhi as the efficient and material cause. That is Brahman. That is Ishwara. Okay? That is Brahman with the total umaya upadhi. We call that Ishwara. That's tat. What do we call the jiva? Is same Brahman identified, you know, with the limited upadhis, the sattva that is contaminated really with the rajas and tamas, and so then becomes limited in terms of this body mind, the rajas and tamas becoming limited with this body mind sense organs. and then therefore becomes a karta, a doer and an enjoyer and all of these things, has all of these problems. So that is the tvam pada. So if I say tat tvamasi, it's a vacharta. Vacharta means the immediate meaning of the word tat, and the immediate meaning of the word tvam. And that vacharta doesn't work. If I say tat tvamasi, and you're looking just at this immediate meaning of the word, then it says you are Ishvara. You, O Jiva, the Malina Sattva, you are Ishvara. And that isn't true. You can say you're part of Ishvara, but you're certainly not Ishvara. And so the tat and tvam, those parts that are viruddha, those parts have to be dropped off. I could go on, but you're not going to be able to listen to it. It's too much. I'm going to cut those 10 minutes off. Yeah. Too many terms kind of flying at you. You might go, is she going to do another verse? I've got 10 minutes. I've got to bring this one thing up because I've been thinking about it. I haven't talked to anybody about it yet. But, you know, when we teach it, when I teach all these years at CIS, one thing that we always do that I think is has been very helpful for me and for all of the students is right at the midpoint, which is where we are. I mean, we're right now at the midpoint, right, where there's maybe just one or two days. So in the midpoint now of the course. So what we always do is right at the midpoint, then we get together and we spend some time thinking about, okay, we look at our time here up to this point. What is working really well and that we want to keep and have more of, that type of thing? What are all the positives that we want to hang on to? And what things can we do to make it better? What kind of like tweaking, how to tweak it a little bit. And that goes for everything. You know, like when we do it at school, one student, I actually leave the room, which I think is a good idea. And then once all the students will have a discussion, and then you're freer to talk if I'm not there. And somebody takes notes, and then you figure out, and just, you know, like kind of your group, that Thursday big group you have. You don't have to take that long there, but have a big group and that everybody feels free to kind of brainstorm, you know, and come up with suggestions. I'd like if we had more of this, or, you know, it'd be better if this would. And so you write down all of those suggestions. You don't have to figure it all out. You just have to take notes and take everybody's suggestions. And then this is how we do it anyway at school. Then when I come back in, somebody, whoever the scribe is, we kind of just read over every one of those suggestions. We go over all the good things and all the things that we can make better. And just go every one of them, we go through as a group, and I'm there too. And then what I do and how I make use of that is I take it really seriously, actually. And I'll go through the positives and the negatives. And the things that I can change, I'll say, yeah, I can do that. That's great. We can do that. You know, that's no problem. I can make that adjustment. And then there'll be some things that I'll probably say, I don't think I can do that. I don't know that I can make that happen. I'll try, but I don't know if we can do that or not. You know, and it might be something also that's kind of beyond my control, more as your control, like I don't know, like the type of meals or some physical surrounding or whatever that can be, you know, beyond me. But I think it's good. I think it's good to take that type of, you know, just to reevaluate, because there's nothing at all to stop us from making things better, mm-hmm. knowing what works and what we could do better, even in terms of the schedule. Like maybe the schedule is too overwhelming. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, okay. So I'll let you all organize that. Decide when is a good time to do that. And I'll participate initially to get you started, and then I will go for some time. And you come, I usually go, you know, to the... and when I'm at school, I'll go to the coffee shop and kind of relax and enjoy the free time. So I'll go back to my room and snuggle up, and then when you're ready, come and have that discussion. I think it's really helpful. It really, you know, it always has been for us. That's cool. I never miss the opportunity, actually. So if you're all right with that, I think we should make use of that and do it. You can all set a date. And, I would do it sooner than later.